Welcome to Catch the Fire Auckland. We hope this message is a blessing to you. You can find us at ctfauckland.com.
Well, guys, I just want to extend my welcome to you as well. My name's Shannon. I'm a lead pastor here at Catch the Fire with my wife, Andrea. Not too much about me. I've been married 23 years this year, haven't we, babes? Got three kiddies. I can't really call them kiddies, they're all getting grown up. I've got an adult and two teenagers at home. That's pretty awesome. I work a couple of days a week for the church. I work 3 days a week as a construction project manager. And I became a Christian when I was 24. So there you go. There's all the headlines. But listen, if you are visiting today, and whether you are a believer, a non-believer, just searching, you are very welcome. It's really good to have you with us. I hope that time encountering God and worship just carries on, not just through the preaching, but for the rest of the day, through the rest of your week, and through the rest of your life. God's not just interested in your attendance on a Sunday. He's so very interested in our entire lives. You know, he has a very holistic view of life. You know, God's not just about sort of picking individual little bits and making those important. God is so passionately caring and considerate and loving to our entire lives, and I thank him so much for that. And I thank him so much for, goodness, 23 years of journeying with him. It's, a relationship that I would never want to change. Look, as Lindley said, we're having this month of preaching, and our theme is looking at and talking about God the Father. And, you know, Stu's wonderful message last week of Jesus revealing the Father to us was so powerful. Just by the way, our messages do go up on our website. We're a few weeks behind at the moment because the guy that normally puts them together for us and sort of uploads them, he's just away on holiday. So bless Roy to have 6 weeks away. But it just means that last week's message will be up in a couple of weeks. So don't worry about that. It is coming. But this week I want to talk about leadership. And right from the off, I think actually leadership's can be a bit of a loaded word. I mean, for some of us, it may be a slightly might trigger some emotions. Maybe we've had experiences in the past of leaders who we've had difficult times or the difficult experiences with. And so, when we think about leadership and being led, and particularly God as our leader, and that's what I want to talk about today, our Heavenly Father as our leader, actually that can sometimes bring with it a mixture of emotions, some positive and some maybe challenging and slightly triggering, but please bear with me. There is healing and there's goodness in the message of Christ and understanding who our Father is and being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Or maybe, you know, you've got really good vibes and good feelings about leadership. You know, I know for me, throughout my life, and I've had many encounters with leaders, people in authority in my life that have been hurtful, harmful, you know, dealt me some level of trauma. But I'm so thankful to God that as I've continued on my journey of inner healing with him, he's actually helped heal those hurts. And so now I very much am in the place where I look at leadership in a very positive way. And it's so good because what we know is that God the Father is our leader. And I want to look particularly this morning about how God led his son, Jesus Christ. Because, you know, I think we all have the ability to think for ourselves, actually, how does God lead me in life? You know, what is he sort of leading and directing me into? How does he speak to me? How does he guide me? How does he instruct me? And that's very helpful, but our model always is King Jesus and understanding all that we can from him and his relationship with Father, because actually that has such a powerful bearing on our own relationship with Heavenly Father. And that's why I want to talk about God as our leader today. And it's funny, Ange and I were having a chat yesterday. Ange and I, great, whenever we're preaching, we always have these sort of convos. And what I find for me, normally it completely changes the direction of what I'm going to say. Because, you know, I kind of get into this little like tunnel mode, and then Andrea brings in all these different aspects, and I go, oh, yeah, I didn't think about that, did I? Oh, well, I better get in. And one of the things that we'd been talking about is, you know, we love to highlight, and not wrongly, the loving and the gentle and those kind aspects of God, but there are also aspects of God that that are quite serious. You know, God is a judge. You know, God can get angry. You know, you think about God's reaction to sin. He's not happy about sin. He's angry about sin. And, you know, some of these, I guess, characteristics or reactions or even, you know, the character types of God can just give us pause to think, because they suddenly come out of the warm, fuzzy, good feels section of who we know the Father to be and actually into a place that is worthy of awe and respect and adoration. And so I was sort of grappling with these two things, going, Lord, how can I speak about you being a leader, yet still, you know, but in a way that's really going to catch us up in your glorious, kind promise for each one of our lives. And I was out for a long bike ride yesterday, and he was speaking to me, and I was speaking to him, and he just said to me, do you know what, Shan, if you think of any of my characteristics, any of the ways that you think about me, he says, why don't you try put the word loving in front of each one? And I suddenly went, gee, that's good, God. That's a great idea. So suddenly I went from thinking, do you know what, Father God is my leader. Father God is my loving leader. You know, Father God is judge. Actually, Father God is loving judge. Father God is justice. He's loving justice. Father God is our provision and our measure. He's our loving provision. He's our loving measure. And actually, even in this sort of moment yesterday, suddenly everything that I thought I already knew about God was suddenly being transformed and aligned further still. So let me drop that nugget out there for you guys. Whenever you think of the characteristics of God, just put the word loving in front of each one and see how that transforms your way of perceiving who he is and how he treats us. So first question, if you're in this room, hands up if you're a leader. I'm talking about leadership. Who in the room is a leader? Cool. A few hands went up. That's really good. Now, if we think about actually what leadership is, and I was looking at the definitions of this yesterday, it says leadership is the ability of an individual or a group of people to influence and guide followers or members of an organization, society, team, or group. And what's interesting to me is that very few hands in this room went up, whereas can I put it to you that if you have the ability to influence someone in your life, then actually you have leadership in you. I think what we do in Christian circles is we think, well, leadership's a title, leadership's a position, leadership's a role, and it is. You know, you look in any system in the world, actually, there are men and women in all sorts of different ways who are actually given a responsibility of leadership within a particular organization, you know, to make decisions and to guide and to lead and all that sort of thing. It happens in business, but it happens in the home. You know, you get mums and you get dads who actually lead the family. It happens at church. You get people who God called to pastor, to lead and to serve the flock, the people of God. But if we think about leadership and it's in a wider sense, that if we think about leadership as being the ability to influence and have influence over people around us, and maybe even change the direction and course of maybe decisions or what's happening, if we can do that, and then actually that's starting into this place of actually having leadership. So I put it to you this morning that really we all need to think of ourselves as leaders. It might be that we don't have a title. It might be that we're not the head of an organization or on the organizational chart or whatever. But actually, if we have the capacity to influence and to guide people who God's put around us, even in small ways, that's leadership right there. So you mums, dads, you brothers, you sisters, you single mums, you single dads, you sons, you daughters, you know, if you're at school, if you're an employee or an employer, you have the ability to influence. And why do I say that at the start? Because I want us all to buy into this thing that actually we can all learn leadership lessons for ourselves from the relationship, the leadership relationship that our loving Heavenly Father has with his precious Son, Jesus. So this preaches very definitely for all of us, not just the leaders in the room. Excuse me for a second. Your Heavenly Father wants you to be the best version of a leader that you can be. And to be that, we need to be led. And I love the fact that Jesus himself, the King of the universe, our salvation, our hero, our conqueror, was himself led. And he was led by his Heavenly Father. And this morning I want to look at some of the aspects of Jesus being led himself. You know, Jesus is without a doubt the most influential person who's ever lived. Do you know why this year is numbered 2024, why we call it 2024? We do it because there was a line in the sand in the calendar of the globe where the man Jesus died, and we remember him every year from that moment onwards. Two of the most important holidays in our annual calendar, Easter, Christmas, we think about the birth of Jesus and the death and resurrection of Jesus. These are major international holidays. The best-selling book of all time has been and is still the Bible. This is a book about Jesus. The influence of Jesus cannot be understated. He is simply the most influential leader and man of all time. And he was led by God, his loving Father. So what was that leading look? What did that leading look like between Heavenly Father and Jesus? Well, let's have a look at a couple of aspects this morning. Do you know, it's hard to say for sure what the characteristics of their leadership was like, because if you read some of the Bible authors, like, you know, Peter, Paul, John, Timothy. Oh, sorry, no, Timothy didn't write, but Timothy was written too. You know, Luke, Mark, Matthew, you read the Old Testament writers. We get a really clear insight into actually how God spoke to them, how God influenced, how God led them. But with Jesus, what we have is this kind of, it's like almost like a biographical look at the relationship that he had with his Father. Jesus didn't write himself, handwrite any of the books of the Bible, but he's in a heck of a lot of them. And he's the focus of the Bible. So we want to look at actually some of these kind of aspects, looking almost from the outside of their relationship, looking in to try and understand what the leadership dynamic was like between God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus, loving Heavenly Father, and Jesus himself. And for me, this is best described in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. Have this mind among yourselves. I love that. Have this mind among yourselves mean we can all share in this mindset, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the leadership approach that Jesus took: humble and servant-hearted, and the Father exalted him. You see, leadership and serving go hand in hand. Jesus understood this the best of anyone who's ever lived. Leadership and serving are inextricably linked. You can't have one without the other. You can't have good leadership without serving. It simply doesn't happen. Leadership without servant-heartedness can so easily turn into dominating and overpowering and overbearing. But actually, if our leadership has this aspect of wanting to not to be served, but to serve, and don't forget what the word says, and, you know, in terms of Jesus, and he gave his life as a ransom for many, then actually leadership works so very, very well. And can I say as well, serving isn't something that we do. A servant is someone that we are. A very important distinction to make. Servant isn't an, well, it results in action, but if we simply stop at saying serving is something that we do, but it actually isn't a fundamental part of who I am, then actually serving becomes very difficult. Serving becomes an action, it becomes an activity, it can wear us down, it can tire us out, it can take everything from us, because believe me, there is no shortage of ways in which we can serve and give of ourselves. But there's something in the wonderful realization that actually I can live my life as a servant to others, constantly going back to God for refreshing and empowering and encouraging and affirmation, and God keeps filling us up. And you know, we can never outserve, we can never outgive. If we exist in a family of people called the church, where we're constantly trying to serve one another, then actually no one's taken advantage of. Because if you're in this mutual serving relationship with the people around you, no one's looking to take advantage of anyone. Actually, we're looking to help one another and to encourage one another and to do whatever we can to help others be lifted up. Leadership and serving go absolutely hand in hand, and Jesus understood that, and he served all the way to the cross. The ultimate display of sacrifice. He went all the way to his death. So my big question is, how did Jesus get there, get to the cross, get to that ultimate sacrificial act? But how did he get there with, you know, through this wonderful relationship that he had with Father God? Because I can only know that it must have been wonderful, otherwise Jesus never would have done it. Like if Jesus wasn't motivated by love, if he hadn't been encouraged by the Father, if he hadn't been affirmed in who he is, I don't believe Jesus, well, actually, no, I don't want to say what Jesus can and can't do, but what I can say is that a critical aspect and a key aspect of Jesus' relationship with his Father was this love and confirmation and affirmation that he would have said. And that actually enabled Jesus to go to the cross. You know, you think of his prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane just before he was arrested and falsely tried and then hung on the cross. He says, you know, he was sweating blood. He just knew the enormity of what was about to take place. But his attitude was, not my will, but yours be done. He put aside his own desires in order to serve mankind and in order to obey his loving heavenly Father. So there's a couple of really big clues that I've seen in the life of Jesus that I think will help us in our relationship with our loving leader, Father God. And the first is simply time spent together. You know, in one sense, when we think about Jesus and the Father, well, of course, Jesus is God, Father is God, Holy Spirit's God. There was no start from Jesus and God weren't created. They've always been. And so actually, in a sense, they've always been in relationship. There's never been a time when Father and Son haven't been in perfect, wonderful, loving relationship with one another. It's ancient beyond ancient. Jesus and the Father have been in eternal relationship. And Jesus prayed often. So if we look at Luke 5, verse 16, it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. He would take himself away and he would spend time just speaking to the Father, hearing from the Father, continuing their relationship. He wasn't developing it, he was continuing it. And Jesus understood that prayer and time spent with God, it wasn't God's business meeting. It wasn't like getting the to-do points for this week. It wasn't kind of getting the, you know, okay, right, here's 3 points for today, Jesus. I've got some key performance index measurements and we're going to make sure that you're up to snuff and you're following what I do. Actually, it was an opportunity for them to speak and listen to one another. It was an opportunity for them to show and speak of their love for each other and for Jesus to be recharged and energized and continue to understand the will of the Father for his life. And you know, the more that I've done that in my life, the closer to Father I've felt. And one really helpful thing for me actually has been a course that we run at Catch a Fire called The 4 Keys to Hearing God's Voice by a guy called Mark Verkler. If you haven't done it, I thoroughly recommend doing it. I was just chatting with Anne this morning about how and when we can get the next course up and running, but it's absolutely brilliant. But what that did is it's helped me personally just overcome some of my blockages and overcome some of my issues around connecting with my Father and sort of unstopping my ears and opening up my mouth so I can really hear from him and speak to him so much more effectively. And so, as I say, if you haven't been through that course, I strongly recommend it. These 10 sessions will absolutely change your life. And it's a big part of the ministry of Catch the Fire is the 4 keys to hearing God's voice. The second big clue from Jesus' life and ministry, and this is the second and only one, this is where I want to finish things off, is Jesus let his Father make the plan for his life and ministry. Now, this is important because, see, Jesus fully obeyed the word. And if we think about what God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 13, you may have read this before. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, Jesus subjected himself to the same thing. Actually, he subjected himself to the plan and the will of the Father for his life. And his earthly ministry was an opportunity for him to keep going back to the Father and keep being encouraged and keep seeking more, information and specifics about what that plan for his life was. If we read on in Jeremiah 29, it says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me," something that Jesus did constantly, "and I will listen to you." This is the Father speaking. "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And I know that was one of Jesus' priorities, to seek the Lord with all of his heart. John 6, verses 38 to 40. These are the words of Jesus. "For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Jesus understood perfectly that the plan for his life was not given to him by men. It wasn't something that he dreamed up. The plan and purpose for Jesus' life was given to him by his loving heavenly Father, his loving heavenly leader. Can I just say, too many human leaders these days overstep the mark and try and plan and give destiny to Christians' lives. That is not our role. That is not our job. And I can just say at Catch the Fire, we will not do that for you. We will not do it to you. It's not my job. It's not Andrew's job. It's not Stuart and Lindy's job. It's none of the leaders' job here to determine what your plan, purpose, and destiny is in this life. That is between you and God. And go to him. And if you don't know what it is, go to him. And if you do know what it is, go to him. Because Jesus constantly went to the Father, even though he knew that the will and the plan and the purpose for his life was completely from God. He didn't just get it once and then kind of just ruminate on it. No, he kept going back to the Father to speak about it more and to develop their loving relationship. So it is with us. But it is the role of a church leader to give you opportunities to walk out the calling and the destiny and the plan that God has for your life. And any good church leader will be able to do that through relationship, through discussion, through understanding who you are, through hearing what God's called you to do and who he's called you to be. Actually, one of our main roles is to help give you opportunities that will let you walk and expand and explore and move forward into that destiny and purpose and calling. And when we do it in that way, everything works. But when human church leaders overstep the mark, they start taking the place of God, and that is a very, very dangerous thing to do. You know, I have a book of prophetic words at home that is just constantly, I'm just writing in it, and it's got all these different words from God about the purpose and plan and call for my life, and you know, they've all come from God. They've all come from him. They may have come through people as prophetic words, and I weigh them, and when I feel like, yep, that's right, that's definitely what God's speaking to me, and I can weigh them and maybe bounce them off some other people, and they go, yeah, Shan, that sounds about right for you. Then they get recorded, but they all come from him. Jesus had exactly the same approach. He didn't let other men and women tell him what he was to do. In fact, he rebuked Peter. Like Peter said, oh, no, don't wash my feet, Jesus, I'm going to wash yours. Jesus didn't have none of it. You know, this sort of boisterous, bold Peter, he actually rebuked him. Because he wasn't going to be diverted or taken off course or instructed by men as to what his destiny was. But he always sought the opportunities to work out the Father's will. And this is important. So this is a big part of what I want us to understand as well from following God's plan for our life is actually Jesus followed God's will for his life. And will is different to instruction. And I want to talk about that just for a few moments now. Because we have to talk about the difference. Because the instructions are like, have you ever bought a piece of technology and you get the book of instructions and it's like, you know, you got step one, step two, step three, step four. You follow these things in that order. You do the button presses. You kind of do the sequence. Then what you've got actually works. And it's very prescriptive and it's bang, 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 bang. Do you know, I think Jesus followed a higher way with his Father. He understood the will that the Father had for his life. And will is How can I best describe Will? The will of a person is to understand their mindset, desires, hopes, and dreams, and changing our behavior to align with that. So what Jesus used to do is go to the Father and say, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I suspect sometimes the Father gave him clear instructions. Go here, maybe speak to this person. Might have had a word of knowledge. You think about when he had that encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well. And God gave him a word of knowledge about her history. You know, you've had five husbands and the man that you're with now, he's not your husband. So God can actually speak very specifically into a situation. But I think more than that, Jesus understood the Father's will for his life. And he knew that the Father's will for his life was to gather a group of men who he could train and disciple and would help build this amazing group called the church that we now live in the benefit of today. He knew that the Father's will was for him to travel to different towns and cities in the Middle East and do miracles and heal and preach the gospel, the good news, and see lepers cleansed and the dead raised and see people brought back into loving relationship with the Father. And I suspect, I don't know, and I'm going to have to ask Jesus this when we're together in glory, but I don't know, but I think sometimes actually the Father just gave him sort of big picture stuff and said, son, you know, go to the town and just see who's there and heal. And he would go. And actually Jesus, of his own free will and his own conscience and his own ability to make good decisions for himself, actually went and worked out the purposes of the Father in the way that he knew would actually please the Father and make him incredibly happy. And so it is with us. Sometimes we can get really specific instructions for our life as to how God wants us to be. But you know, sometimes God gives us big picture stuff. And the wonderful thing about having a relationship with our loving, leading Heavenly Father is that He allows us to work those things out in relationship with Him. So at the start of the year, for instance, for me, God spoke this word reach, which I took as reaching out to people who are not yet part of the church, don't have a relationship with Jesus. It's a real evangelistic word. It's a real go word. It's a call to action. But I've had very little detail so far. And so I keep going back to God and I say, Lord, what can we do? And then, what do you know? This spontaneous thought lights upon my mind about running an alpha course. And so I start to plan an alpha course. What I didn't get was like a specific set of instructions from the Lord about, okay, start an alpha course, got to be in this place, on this date, da 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 da. What I've had is some big picture stuff. And then I keep going back to God and saying, Lord, oh, how about, could I do this? Could I do that? And then I feel His affirmation on some things. And so I pursue them and I get to work them out in the way that actually allows me to explore the boundaries and capacities of my own life. And I do it in relationship with Him, and it's wonderful. And it's so freeing, because instead of being automated robots who are simply following a list of set instructions, we're being called into this deepening, wonderful, loving relationship with our Heavenly Father, where we get to work out the things that He's calling us to in a way that we talk together about. And I think that's how Jesus spent a lot of His time ministering. I think He spent a lot of the time thinking, big picture idea, Father, how can I do that? And they spoke together and He received inspiration and He used His own intellect and His own will in order to work that through. I love that. And I, as I say, I want to speak to Jesus about how He, like if I've got the right understanding of that, because I do think that that's actually how Jesus and the Father interacted during His earthly ministry. You see, the Father trusts you to work out His plan for you. You know that? The Father trusts you to work out His plan for your life. And it's not about following the rules, it's about relationship and loving. Because you see, if you're truly in a loving, open relationship with your Father, then you will do things in the way that you know please Him. So He doesn't have to talk about the rules. He doesn't have to kind of say it needs to line up with X, Y, and Z. Because through relationship and through talking and speaking with each other, we know and understand. It's like our marriage relationship that I have with Anne. You know, we just know each other so well that we can actually do things in a way that we know will please the other. And it's not that, you know, we have to sort of tell each other every day what we need or what we want to do. We just know because our relationship of love really works. And as we journey with the Father, this is where I want to finish, the exchange of love transforms and changes us for the better. We are made more loving by being constantly in the flow of his love towards us. You know, a great example in the Bible of this is James and John. They were two of the disciples that Jesus chose. And Jesus actually gives them a nickname in Mark 5. He calls them the sons of thunder. They're these fishermen, the sons of thunder. And I think, man, you give that sort of nickname to boys that are, they're probably pretty rough and ready, you know. They're explosive, they're powerful, they're, you know, they could be potentially volatile. You know, it's like, oh, we've got these guys, we don't know which way it's going to go. But you wind forward 40 years into the life of John, and he writes the Gospel of John that is attributed to him, and also three letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And you know what? They are the most loving letters in the New Testament. You know, in the book of John, he uses the word love 57 times, which is more than the other three Gospels combined. If you read his letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John to the churches, they are all about love. Love for one another, love for God, love from God. So what changes a man who starts off as a son of thunder, a volatile, kind of roughy-toughy sort of fisherman guy, into a loving, kind, considerate, considered man? It's living in the flow of the love of God. It's such a clear example to me from Scripture. Such a clear example from life of how God's love utterly transforms us. So what does this all mean, and where do I finish? Look, I don't know what experience you've had with leaders in the past, and I hope that they've been good, but I dare say it's probably a mixed bag across the room. Let the leadership of your loving Heavenly Father transform your view of leadership in your life from those around you. If you've had a boss at work who's been harsh to you and been cruel and mean and cutting, then we'd like to pray and minister through that today. If you've been subject to church leaders where, you know, you opened yourself up to folks where there was trust and love and you hoped that they would have the best for you, but actually you were in some way kind of hurt or misunderstood or abused, I would love to pray through some of that stuff with you today. And we have a wonderful ministry team here to help you pray or to help pray with you. If you feel as well like you have a plan for your life and you feel like you know what it is, or maybe you don't know what the plan for your life is and you don't know how to work it out, we would love to pray and minister with you this morning, because, as I said, time spent in the prayer closet with God, time spent in relationship with the Father, is how we work through and understand, unpack and develop this wonderful living relationship that we have with the Father. And it's how we follow our wonderful, loving leader in heaven. Can we please stand? And I invite you to just close your eyes, and I want to pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you so, so much for what you've done in our lives. Lord, I thank you for the people gathered here together in this room, everyone a life, not just a face in the crowd, but a life lived with experience, skill, passion, love, servanthood. Lord, there's so much good in this room. But Lord, as well, we know that sometimes talking about leadership can just trigger some difficult emotions and some difficult responses. Holy Spirit, would you bring your peace and your calm to us now in Jesus' name. Trust in the Lord always, and in all your ways acknowledge him, lean not on your own understanding, and he'll make your path straight. But we thank you that as we come to you and we don't look at the issues, but Lord, we hand our life over to you and fully trust you and love you. Lord, you lead us and guide us in straight paths towards you. Father God, would you remind us all again of your plan, purpose, and destiny for each one of us? And if we don't know it yet, Lord, would you start speaking to us? Lord, we want to know why we were put here on this earth. Lord, what's our purpose? What have you called us to be, and how have you called us to be? Lord, if there are people in this room who don't have a deep, loving, ongoing relationship with you, God, would you draw them in? Lord, in your wonderful, kind, tailor-made way to each one of us. You know exactly what we need and exactly what we want. And Lord, you meet us in that place. You bridge the gap so that we can know you. Lord, would you do that with us today? And God, more than all of that, Lord, would you help us to follow you and to serve you in the way that Jesus did? Lord, we don't want to do it under our own strength. We don't want to do it full of pride. We want to do it humbly and with a servant heart, just as Jesus himself did. And Lord, that means sacrifice and it means laying down, but ultimately you will lift us up. And we thank you so much for that glorious promise. I pray, Lord, bless every heart here, bless every life here, bless every family here in Jesus' precious name. Amen.